Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Off and running with another episode of Believe in Kentucky. My name is Vinny Hardy. Got Aaron Gershon with us from the Cat's Paws. And AG, we got a guest in here. Jalen's not here tonight, but we'll have him back hopefully next week. Got a guest in here because, first of all, Kentucky hosts Arkansas in baseball this weekend. And outside of that, I don't guess there's any other Kentucky-Arkansas connections that's really been happening much in the sports world.
Kind of boring.
Two fan bases love each other, man.
Yeah. We got Porter Hayes from the Hog Talk podcast, part of Believe Network. Porter covers the Hogs. And Porter, man, you got Cal down there in Fayetteville. And I think y'all had a few things pop off and a lot of stuff to talk about since that happened as well, right?
Well, yeah, thanks to Tyson. You know, we love our chicken here in Arkansas. And, look, it's crazy. First of all, thank you for having me on, and I love being able to cross-promote on Believe. They've been a wonderful podcast network for us as well. But, yeah, look how it all went down. You know, in Arkansas, we plane track. I don't know if you do that in Lexington.
Though. Yes, sir, we do.
You know, we plane track, and it's always been – you know, circle back and then just out of left field, like with Eric Musselman hire, the Sam Pittman hire, you know, we thought we were getting Lane Kiffin and, you know, there was, you know, Gruden, you know, everybody was thinking that somebody with a red tie was coming to Arkansas. So fast forward, you know, when the Bobby Petrino stuff happened and he come back, we played Duke that night. They flew a plane over Bud Walton Arena that said, "Welcome back, Bobby Petrino." So, I mean, it was second fiddle to the Duke Arkansas game was second fiddle to a coaching hire. And same thing happened. You know, we got the number one team in the country in baseball, and we're talking about Coach Cal still to this day. Yes, we got the Kentucky-Arkansas baseball. Our last four shows have been Cal.
Man, unbelievable. So, first of all, I just want to backtrack a little bit and just, you know, who is Porter Hayes, your Arkansas fandom? You're born and raised in Arkansas, or how'd you get into the podcast? I know you do radio. Just a little bit of, you know, background about yourself, you know, let everybody know who you are a little bit.
Well, it happened pre-COVID. I'm from my dad's side of the family's from South Carolina. I'm actually a huge Clemson Tiger fan. And so I was looking to get into it because being an outside perspective, everybody, you know, there's a lot of fans that are, or people that have graduated from the University of Arkansas doing Arkansas podcasts. Well, I was born and raised in Arkansas, but the SEC women's basketball tournament was in Greenville. And I met up with a buddy of mine, Tyler Butler. He does sports and culture out in South Carolina. He wanted me to start writing with him and doing stuff with him. And then that led to getting a hold of Jacob Davis with the podcast. And I joined them in 2019, and it's just taken off, you know, and then COVID hits. So, you know, COVID really just grew our podcast, and then becoming part of Believe, because everybody was talking. You could get anybody on. You could get guests. You sit there and talk sports, even when the sports was shut down. So this year five for me, and it's just been amazing, the growth of our podcast, the growth of being able to use StreamYard. I mean, it's utilizing these tools that we have. It's been very beneficial for us as a podcast, and it allows us to do these things, you know, cross promotions for Believe. You know, it's been awesome. But yeah, this Coach Cal news has been crazy. Full-time job and doing this. So you have two full-time jobs when you do this.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Now, you of course followed Arkansas, you know, prior to them joining the SEC. So my question, I guess, is, You're a little bit younger than me, but do you remember when Eddie Sutton left and came to Kentucky? I know you were probably a kid. I was a kid.
I was, you know, mine when I really started was, you know, really Nolan. You know, when Nolan really kicked off with Todd Day, Lee Mayberry, you know, Oliver Miller, that those guys, you know, when that era started, you know, and then, of course, Corliss and, you know, the national championship, the battles, when Arkansas really come into the SEC, it was an instant battle. It was an instant rivalry, you know, between the two schools. And back then, you could even consider Arkansas was a almost a blue blood. I know that, you know, the Final Fours and stuff, you know, banging with Duke and UNLV and Kentucky. So it was that's what I hope this situation brings back to the SEC, brings back to Arkansas, is that rivalry where two teams hate each other, two programs hate each other. They step on the floor and they want to beat each other more than the other team. You know, that's what I think is missing in SEC basketball. We're the king of college football with our rivalries and stuff. And I think that this has a chance to really bring that back. And I'm very excited. I know we still ain't even got into summer camp of football. We're still in baseball season, but we can't wait till that Kentucky Arkansas game.
No doubt about it. I'm curious. I've covered three games at Bud Walton Arena now. I've said it here even before this stuff. I love that environment. One of my favorite places to go to in the SEC. But, you know, Cal has never been greeted kindly there. What was kind of the perception of him before this whole thing went down? And just how quickly did it change? I mean, obviously, he's a polarizing guy, and he's always going to kind of be just hated just because of who he is. But what was kind of the true feeling on Cal as an opponent before, you know, any of this even came to fruition?
Oh, love to hate him. I mean, you seen when he got ejected. I mean, Dave Van Horn, the baseball coach, was waving. Uh-huh. Look, it's a love-hate-respect deal. You mm-hmm. look at Cal. You look at Saban. You look at these people that you want to lose, but you respect the hell out of them. I think that's why the transition flipped so fast and so went 180, because you love to hate him, but if he's on your side, you love to love him, because, I mean, it was instant. Like, when the rumbling started of that picture with him and John Tyson and having that dinner, and then it's almost like you threw gas on the fire. Everybody forgot that he was the coach of Kentucky, you know. it instantly. And now you had the ones that, because it was Kentucky, it took them longer to get used to it, but maybe a day. I mean,
yeah, right.
You know, I mean, it's just the way it was. So your eyes lit up, and when the tweets and the interactions and everything really started to roll, and it was exciting, because you got to think, Eric Musselman brought a very good, you know, I mean, three Sweet 16s, two Elite Eights. But how he left, we had nothing. I mean, the meme of Will Smith and the empty carpet was going around. We had nothing on our team. Yep. So we're like, okay, who's going to replace him? And we're like, who can come in and keep this ball rolling? It's going to take somebody. But then you see Cal come in, and then we see what he's bringing in already with his starting five, or his five players, and the potential of adding more. It really, again, and you're getting them from Kentucky. So we're talking about that rivalry again, and we're poaching, and we got the NIL money. And it's just, it's funny. I made this comparison with Saban of, he was getting everything he wanted at Alabama. Then he doesn't like NIL. Then he leaves, and then he's on Capitol Hill complaining about it. I was like, it's very rich coming from a guy who was making $11 million off of college football players. Well, the same thing now that Cal comes to Arkansas and he gets this big NIL bag and bringing Kentucky players. Now they're like, well, now I think we need to do something about the NIL situation. That's not fair. And it's like, rich coming from Kentucky fans who've had the one and dones and had all this. You know, it's funny how things flip.
Were people expecting Musselman to leave? I mean, last year didn't go well. You know, expected him to contend, and they had a bad year. Did people think, well, he's gone, or was it a surprise, or what was that lead up like to him leaving?
Yes and no. Look, you know, and I've said this about Eric Musselman. He's here or he's here. You know, he's either really high or he's really low. He could be very exciting taking his shirt off, and he can throw a tantrum like a little child. But I will defend it because, look, I said, if you're going to accept him when he's doing them shenanigans on a positive level, if he is taking his shirt off and he's jumping in the stands, you have to accept the bad side of it because that's his personality. So I'm not going to hate on him and call him a baby or say these things because I've been one that has accepted how he was on the good side of it. But everybody's seen the writing on the wall. There was rumblings, but it just seemed like this portal thing that he was doing, it was taking the teams longer and longer and longer to click. It was January, then February, then March, and then now you've seen Battle go off for 30 points, and it was too late.
Right.
So, I mean, even when they made the tournament, they were 8-10 with, you know, three NBA players. They were 8-10 in conference because it was just taking them so long to click as a team, and you can't keep your assistants, and you've seen them start to leave. That's when the pieces start to fall. I mean, that's where it was. So, no, it wasn't surprising. It was just surprising how he left the situation and how he left the program. I mean, bone dry. I mean, at one time we had one player on our team, and he had
the walk-on.
Yeah, the walk-on had one appearance, you know.
And that's, you know, same here. You know, people wanted to be upset about Cal leaving. I think, look, we're just seeing the other side of the coin because when he came, then DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall came. They would have all been at Memphis.
That's just
they follow him to Kentucky. So it comes full circle, and you know, we get that.
You know, well, other side of it. You got to think it was the perfect marriage of y'all wanted him gone. Y'all wanted him to leave.
Yes.
I mean, and that's not a knock. We've seen it. I mean, everybody.
It was time.
Time to go. Rip the Band-Aid off. But it's the fact that we got him. Now there was jealousy, and it's like, okay, you see the new girlfriend, and it's Arkansas, and you're like, oh, man. You know, and now we got his stepkids coming from Kentucky. Now, you know, we got Allen and his kids, you know. So it's one of those things that it was best. It gave us that breath of fresh air, that new start. It got y'all a new coach, which we can go, you know, down that rabbit hole of, you know, with Pope and your guy Matt Jones saying that he's not a good hire, and then he's all about him and
following him. Yeah, the first 12 hours of something.
So
it took us a while to wrap our heads around it for sure. But I got to ask you this too, because I know I'm not going to speak for everybody, but I'm sure that everybody down in Fayetteville, when St. Peter's happened, they were like, When Oakland happened, you know, the 9-16, snickering and chuckling.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime Tennessee loses, I'm like, so you the excitement is there, the big name is there, the flash is there, but it's a coach that's, you know, kind of struggling these last few years. So how is everybody wrapping their heads around that? Like, this, I was just now laughing at him losing to Oakland. Now he's my coach. So what's dynamic?
It goes to back look at Musselman. He did great. Now, it's not wear out your welcome. It's just you've seen the writing on the wall, and you just get to the point where you're just tired. And if you're winning and you have all these talent coming in, and then you see you can't sit there and say they don't pay attention to what the fan base is saying or the boosters are saying. And I just think it was like, man, I'm ready for a change. And so it wasn't necessarily that – they looked at his losing because, one, we can't sit there and snicker enough because we didn't even make the tournament. I mean, we can do it quietly in the corner, but we can't sit there and put too much on the loss to Oakland because we didn't, get even close to sniffing the tournament. We didn't even get invited to the NIT. But it's a very different situation we follow all the SEC sports, so you see how it was looking like he was wanting to be done. The fans were wanting to be done, so it's not like – well, he did this. He lost in the first round. If he was in his prime and losing in the first round, maybe it'd have been like, okay, what's going on? But, you know, if your heart's not in it, if you're not in it, you're going to coach differently. And I think that's what's happened. We see a new resurgence. You see Pope coming in with his stuff. He's getting some players. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
For sure. For sure. You have something there?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, I'm just, yeah. Yeah, that was my main thing too, because you know, and will he be rejuvenated, or will he be fired up, or, you know, change the scenery, help? Yeah.
Well, that's $7 million in his $5-6 million NIL bag. I mean, that's going to get him, you know, get him excited too, you know. Plus, he has close ties to John. I mean, they've been friends for a long time. You know, every time he comes to Fayetteville, he's at Herman's, you know, the rib house there eating steak. So, I mean, you know, he loves going there, and they call the Hogs when he's there. He loved it. So, I mean, there is a relationship there. He's not going to some school that, you know, that he's not familiar with trying to rebuild this program.
No, I agree entirely with that. I do think it'll give him a fresh. I think it's good. Again, I've been saying it from Jump Street. I think it's a win for every single party involved. I think Arkansas gets a Hall of Fame head coach, and, you know, keeps building some momentum that the program, you know, had started to build under Musselman. Musselman really rejuvenated it, right? I mean, the Mike Anderson years were not good. Musselman comes in, does what he does. You could argue outside of Alabama, they've probably been the most consistent program in the SEC the last 4 years or so. Not, you know, even last year, just given two Elite Eights and a Sweet 16 before that. So, you know, you got to give him your flowers there. And then, you know, Cal's a guy who's going to come in and motivated, and that should help. But from Kentucky's perspective, I think, and yeah, there's going to be some fans out there that are annoyed it's in the SEC and it's a fan base they've engaged with in the past and all that, yada, yada. Some, you know, fake anger, whatever. But I think it's more so that I think Kentucky needed the change too. And, you know, Mark Pope, at first it was the hesitancy was simply just because he doesn't have any NCAA tournament wins. And then you have to go peel back all the layers to it and say, hey, one, he's been here. He's going to understand what it takes. And you're not going to have to question his energy, because it was definitely a fact that Cal, the energy was just, it wasn't the same the last couple of years for whatever reason. And whatever that might be. And so, you know, you're going to get the energy from Pope. You know, you're going to have the want to, the motivation as a former player. But also, you know, he was at a place that was at BYU where you can only recruit certain type of guys. And in their first year in the Big 12, they do pretty damn well. Utah Valley. I mean, he hasn't, you know, exactly. It's not the ideal resume for a guy that's coaching Kentucky from just his coaching resume, but then you peel back the layers. So again, I just think I go back to it, and I've been saying it since day one. I think Arkansas won big because they get a Hall of Fame coach that is probably going to have some energy back, have some swagger back to him that's been lacking the last 4 years. But Kentucky gets, you know, is in a good spot too. And the way Pope has put the staff together and roster together, I mean, he's probably exceeded any expectations that were there with the worry when all the worrying was happening when he was first hired.
And, you know, Arkansas has been through the same situation with this coaching stuff. You know, he, as a fan base, expect that we're going to get the top notch coach in every sport, you know, and when you go through John L. Smith and Chad Morris, and then you get, you know, Sam Pittman, you're getting a guy that wants to come in. He wants to do the best he can, but there's no experience, because who wants to come coach at Arkansas after 2-2-10 seasons? You know, right. who wants to? So now you've got this, and NIL and transfer portal has changed a lot of things. And look, absolutely, it's not a knock against Kentucky. It's a knock against everybody, because now you can go somewhere. Look what Cal has been able to do at Arkansas instantly. You would not have been able to do that with the transfer portal or NIL. Let's just be honest.
No doubt about it.
Screwed. So, but I think a little bit of the fan base got humbled on the Kentucky side, because you think you're going to get Beard. You think you're going to get Oates. You think you're going to get the shot at Hurley coming from UConn. Maybe he got complacent with back-to-back titles and coming to Kentucky, and then you get Pope. And it's like, at first you're like, because you see these names and then you see Pope. But then, like you said, you peel things back. Now you're like, okay, I think he's a Kentucky guy. He played for Kentucky. I think we can win with him. And then you start getting in a good, you know, look, let's just be real. I mean, Kentucky's got some ballers coming. It ain't like, you know, you're still Kentucky. You're always going to be Kentucky. I'm going to be one of them real ones that you're always going to be Kentucky. So you're going to get guys that still want to wear that Kentucky on the front of their jersey.
Yeah. And that's where, because historically, Kentucky doesn't go the North Carolina route and keep it in the family. And, you know, you see Roy Williams and you see Hubert Davis and that whole thing. Right. Joby Hall was the last former player prior to Pope to coach for Kentucky. And so I think me and Aaron talked about it. For me, I knew Mark Pope was coaching, and of the former Cats coaching, he was doing the best, you know, better than Scott Padgett and Sean Woods and Travis Ford and John Pelfrey, who coached at Arkansas for a little bit. And Pope was doing the best of all those guys. But to me, he still wasn't setting the world on fire. I mean, I know he's out there out west. I know, he's at BYU, he's at Utah Valley. Because historically, usually Kentucky, when they bring in the coach, he's done a little something before he comes to Kentucky.
That's right.
You have, after Joe B leaves, Eddie Sutton comes in, leaves Arkansas to come to Kentucky, had taken Arkansas to a Final Four. Mm-hmm. You know, we were little. I was little. I'm older than you too, Porter. But Sutton leaves. Rick Pitino had, been with the Knicks, had taken Providence to a Final Four with Billy Donovan as his point guard. Tubby Smith at Georgia had them in the Sweet 16. Syracuse beats them on the last second shot. Kentucky beats that Syracuse team for the championship in 96. So you got guys that had, done some stuff. Gillespie, that was a little, but he even beat Louisville in the tournament, and I think that kind of got everybody excited. And then, of course, Cal should have had a title at Memphis before he comes to Kentucky. So then you get Mark Pope, who's like, he hasn't done – Aaron already mentioned he hadn't won a tournament game. So you had to kind of recalibrate yourself and just kind of wrap your head around it. And then, okay, all right. And then he has hit the ground running. A lot of commitments today, a lot of commitments the past week, and people wanted to panic about the roster, and it's coming together nicely. So everybody just got to kind of relax and let him do what he's doing.
Well, and also on the Arkansas side of it, I mean, we got our coach from Nevada. So when we get our coach in the same area, same conference, it's one of them things that, again, you can, if you got the drive and you can get the players, you can change a program and you get some in-state guys with some heart. You look at the talent that we had. Look, outside looking in, Elite Eight, Sweet 16s are great, but they always got bodied, North Carolina and Baylor. They never had those big guys like the UConn and the Dukes, Pichero. And then, it's always we run into that hurdle of having a true big down low that's hurt them. And then, of course, with the clicking late and coming together, it's one of the things looking back at it now, you're like, okay, you had three NBA guys on your team and you went 8-10 in the conference. That is kind of alarming when you look at the from the grand scheme. But I mean, I still wouldn't trade those years because it brought excitement back to Arkansas. It brought back excitement to a program that in the heyday, they built a new arena because they couldn't fit everybody in. Walton couldn't get a seat in Barnhill, so he just said, I've got enough money, I'll build an arena. That's why it's called Bud Walton Arena, and of course going into the SEC, coming into what it is, it's going to be exciting to see 19-2, 19-5 in that arena every weekend.
Yeah, that's for sure. So yeah, that just definitely wanted to get, the vibe of what it's like down there. Like you said, it's been nonstop. Some fans are still kind of looking at one eye at what he's doing there and just still processing the whole transition. But, you got your finger on the pulse down there and definitely wanted just to get your thoughts of how it's been with him coming to Fayetteville. So, hit some baseball too, even like you said,
number one in the country. We got a top matchup in the SEC and in the country.
That's right, man.
We're talking, but that again, that's what I was saying. Dave Van Horn even mentioned, he's like, man, I'm glad they hired Cal and got it over. So now we can talk baseball season starts, but we're still.
And I mean, Kentucky's having one of the best seasons in program history. And I've said it, like, I feel bad for these guys. Like, this is the season they're doing this, and now you got a freaking basketball coaching search for the first time in 15 years, and nine new guys, only one keep from the freshman class. Just crazy timing on all that.
Yeah, baseball is going to be fun. I mean, we've had our this on our circle, you know, the calendar circled for a couple of weeks because we knew what it could end up being. And then just all this wrapped into it carries over into the excitement. I mean, I that's one thing that I'm looking forward to is what is the reception going to be? How crazy, how nuts is this going to be? And on y'all's side of it, have y'all, when's the last time y'all have seen something like this in baseball?
Well, from a, like a big series standpoint?
Yeah, big series like you.
Yeah, this will be the second one in 3 weeks, actually, though. Yeah. Only it's ironic because they had Tennessee come in 2 weeks ago. So you have the close drop. They had two record crowds, and then the third one was, it didn't set a record. It would have been the record. So, but the fact that you're having two in a row like this is might be the first time ever. So, especially in this ballpark that just opened up in 2019, gorgeous ballpark that they put, I think it was $42 million into in the first, 3 years of it. You know, you have 2019, they just weren't a good team. 2020, the COVID season. And then 2021, another kind of mediocre year. And then even 2022, they didn't catch fire till late and made a push to the SEC tournament semis, but didn't get any further than that. So last year they had a really strong season, but you didn't really have the crazy environments until the NCAA tournament, the regional. But the Tennessee series now with Arkansas coming in, it is going to be as good as we've ever seen Kentucky Pratt Park. And, there's no direct ties to Calipari with Arkansas basketball, but the fact the name is Arkansas right now with it being a hot topic, I'm sure that'll add some juice. It just will.
That's why we got you on to talk about all of it. Cause it's all intertwined together. With the Tennessee series that just happened, both of them top five and Kentucky trying to get up there with all the heavy hitters, I forget who I was talking to somebody. I think it was a Tennessee fan, but I was like, Kentucky's kind of due to drop a series. They were, 14-1 at that time or whatever. And now you guys come in and Kentucky's scuffling a little bit. They, I think it was with Ty Walker on SEC Network. And he was saying that, Tennessee probably should have beaten Kentucky. When was it? Friday, the first game.
Yeah, Kentucky came back to win Friday.
And I'm like, well, if you want to play that game, Kentucky probably should have won Sunday.
Yeah, they blew a four-run lead.
Yeah. So, and then, you can't finish the first game against South Carolina. You had them, and they get walked off Friday. Slugfest Saturday got, run root on Sunday. So they're trying to – in the process of coming back to earth a little bit, from that hot start. The schedule's toughening up. It's a combination of all of that. So from the Arkansas perspective, are they what y'all thought, exceeding expectations? What's been the constant or the main thing that's led to their success this season?
Hagan Smith.
He's amazing, man.
He's fourth in total strikeouts and first in strikeouts per nine innings at 16.65 strikeouts per. I mean, he's nasty. And then you have Mason Molina, Tiger, all these guys. I think that's been the biggest surprise. Look, and this is not the brag or flex. When you got a program like Arkansas, you expect them to be top three. Our expectations from a fan base. And when you had the downflow in football, then you had what you had in basketball. Now it's like, all right, Arkansas baseball, it's on your shoulders now to carry it. So the expectations to me, it's okay. That's the same. And I guess we're really spoiled as a fan base when it comes to baseball, because we're used to having 12,000, 13,000, 14,000 at a home series. We're used to having them go to, the regional, super regionals and Omaha. So, but this is the first time since 2005 that they've won all their midweek games. I mean, they've always dropped, a midweek game. But, the bats have been on and off. They've been very sketchy. But, you still got one, two, three, four. You still got four guys hitting over 300 in your lineup, And they'll go on a streak and then they'll not. But it's I guess from our fan base's side of it, it's hilarious to – when they question Dave Van Horn's motives or why did you do this and why you do that, you're 31-2 at home. You're 39-7 in overall. Number two in the country. But again, that's just when you have those expectations, the margin of error is very small. So I guess coming into the season, you just expect greatness. You expect them to automatically go to Omaha. Like Arkansas baseball is like Kentucky basketball, but Arkansas doesn't have the national championship to go there. But the program standpoint, we see ourselves as the standard of baseball programs in the SEC, but it's without national championships. It's hard to say that you're the standard when you haven't ever won one.
Yeah, need that to validate it to legitimize it to others outside of just Arkansas, you know, So I get that for sure. Switching up, did you ever think that you would see Bobby Petrino do a second tour of duty in Arkansas?
When that went down, again, out of left field, we all remember what happened. I mean, we all remember the wreck that happened. Mm-hmm. It's one of them things that, again, as a fan base, they're going to accept it. Opened a door. Like, you know, everybody was throwing a fit about, you know, when people were talking about Chris Beard and, well, you really want this said person to come. Look, we opened that garage door when we allowed the motorcycle back.
That's right.
We did. So, but yes, and we talked about, you know, the Duke Arkansas game, and they flew a plane over Bud Walton Arena when he was announced, like, welcome home, Bobby. So, I mean, just as quick as they hated Cal and now they loved him, everybody kept, you know, we're their laughing stock, and we, you know, were the laughing stock of, I mean, it was getting talked about on Pat McAfee's show, you know, the neck brace and all that stuff was being brought back. But it was worth it because, again, look, our football program is in shambles, you know, and we're having people leave, but you're 4-8, you know, you come off a 9-win season, then you drop down to 6. Now you're 4. It's the thing that you see Kendall Briles, Barry Odom, and then you see Barry Odom go to UNLV and have some success there. So sure, look, you know, Sam Pittman's on his last leg. Look, if this experiment don't work, you know,
he's pulling out all the stops.
You know? Yeah, you have to. And
you have to. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, and we'd even gotten into a world of hurt over that bye. We were under the assumption that he was, in fact, we're going to be looking for a new coach.
That's right.
Ran with it. And then it just flipped on it. And then, it was bad. So don't ever talk about a coach being let go before it's actually official. They don't like that at the university. That's so, true. But no, it was exciting. I mean, and then you fast forward to this coaching hire. The last two coaching hires at the University of Arkansas has been nuts, and we ain't even got into the next football season yet.
Yeah. Before Aaron came on, you had some gear, some famous gear, or somebody else, the helmet that Marty McGee helmet, man. Show us that real quick.
Yes. So in pure Arkansas fashion, I have to show Aaron this.
Let's see, my man.
Full mascot is
look at that.
We're the Ozark Hillbillies.
I love it.
Other helmet that I have is on the set of Marty and McGee. We had Ryan McGee on, and that helmet sits on the set of the Marty and McGee show.
That's awesome right there.
Yeah. Hillbilly headline. So, yes, I can say that we're true hillbillies here in Arkansas.
I'll be looking for it next time. Now I'll be that's awesome. That's what Porter was talking about.
I'm definitely gonna be looking for it next time.
And he actually I know there's probably a lot of at home games only, he actually shoots a gun when we score. So I mean, he actually shoots a shotgun in the air when we score. So yes, it's we're a small school, but yeah, and it's something that we're very prideful. Like it actually is a motto, you know. So and everybody changing mascots, I was really worried that they were really going to try to take the mascot away, but here at set we're still the hillbillies. I've got two boys that are in junior high, they're hillbillies, so
you know. I love it.
Yo, hey, before we let you go, Porter, tell everybody when you record, where they can find you. You know, I know you do on the radio as well. Tell us everybody where and when and who and how about the Hawk Talk podcast.
We usually go live Sundays and Thursdays or Mondays and Thursdays. Sorry, we did Sunday, but my co-host, he hops on with a couple of his buddies on Hawk HQ on Sundays, and we roll Mondays and Thursdays with Adam Hall. Amazing co-host. We clicked and meshed. I mean, one episode in, we knew it was going to be a really good partnership with us. And just how everything's been going with all the news and the coaching hires, we go live on Facebook here, Instagram, Twitter, and then our podcast is played on the Buzz Radio Network out of Little Rock on Friday. So yeah, just follow us, Hog Talk, H-A-W-G. Another thing that we have to change the name of how we spell hog, because, you know, again, the university doesn't approve of the H-O-G, you know. That's so nice. That's, you know, all good. It's one of the things, you got to change things around. But yes, we are actually going live tomorrow night, 6:30, and again, talking about the baseball series and some more additions to our basketball team.
Good stuff, man.
Awesome, man.
So with all that going on with your full-time job, with this becoming more and more full-time, already going twice a week, and then you got a show coming up tomorrow. You came on tonight with us, so definitely appreciate you hopping on.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. Sometimes have a couch, you know, just in case those long weeks where you're not with the family a lot. You know, the wife's not like that, but you know, it's one of them things that, you know, you try to do the best you can, because we can't do this full time. I wish we could, but you know, you know, like we do, you know, you've got to have other means of income, but it's been fun. I don't even know if I would want to do this full time, because I have so much fun doing it on the side. It's just a hobby, and I love where this has taken me. You know, I went from an iPhone and Zoom to being blessed to being able to have a studio above the garage now. So it's just, you know, awesome. Persistence and it pays off, you know?
Yeah. I think Blake Ruffino, Are You Serious, is the only one that's full-time and believe. Yep. He is doing shows like
– I like Blake, but I love giving games. Too. I love, yeah. Oh, my gosh, I love we would talk and talk about, oh, my goodness. Last year when that LSU-Iowa stuff, I was on their side, and, like, this year, if you're against him, like, he don't hardly return the text anymore, because he don't like it when you talk against his team, which I just – But I can't stand Kim Mulkey. I think.
You're not alone. You're not alone.
I respect what she has been able to do, but I can't stand somebody who, and you could even say this like Eric Musselman, I can't stand somebody who puts themselves before the team. And
I understand that.
Exactly the vibe I got. And when you're throwing out all the antics and then you get punched in the mouth and you're the ones crying foul, I don't do that. I don't like people who do that. And that's one of the biggest things that gets me in trouble is I'll call it out, you know, like the whole, I pissed off a bunch of Alabama fans. I'm like, your coach sit there and made all this money. Now he wants to talk against it, you know, and the same thing with the LSU issue, you know, and, you know, it's like you have the LSU people like, look, last year I was on your side. Now that I'm on the other side of it, now y'all want to come from my head. And I'm just like, it is what it is. You know, I'm an outsider's perspective. I've loved college sports since the 90s. So, you know, they don't like when an outsider tries to tell them how to run things.
I think Eli Drinkwitz was saying some stuff about transfer portal when, you know, the bulk of his team was built off of transfers. So he was another one talking out of both sides of his mouth.
You know,
that's what these coaches do, man.
Yeah. Well, it's all good and well, you know, like until the rabbit has the gun. And when it hurts him now, they're like, oh, you know, and it's a perfect example. You know, Arkansas gets this big NIL deal that's not been announced publicly in any sport. People don't know how to take that. So
that's right.
I'm interested to see what the trickle effect is to this and see how many other schools now, you know, Auburn, do they go to Yellowwood? Does Nike go out tonight? You know, Maryland, do they go to the Under Armour? I mean, when these people really start getting into these big, we ain't seen bags yet. We think $500,000 is, but now when you're getting guys to come in and there's reports that each one of these guys are getting $1 million, that was more than our whole university was getting 2 years ago as a collective on that NIL. Mm-hmm. So we were the first university to have a collective agreement with Edge. It started in a couple years ago, and we were way behind. And now with this stuff with Tyson, and a lot of people don't know how much money is in the state of Arkansas. They don't realize the. They just
I agree with that.
But you got Tyson, J.B. Hunt, and you know, you have Stevens, you have all these investments, you have oil field money. You know, it's just they Jerry Jones. You know, they don't realize if they really wanted to go tit for tat on who has what money, we would be very well off. And then we're seeing that already.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Man, Porter, appreciate you dropping knowledge.
Absolutely, man.
Time. It's been a lot of fun. Enjoyed it, man.
Anytime. We'll definitely have to catch up football season.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure, man. Enjoy the rest of the evening and have a good show tomorrow. And we'll see what happens with these cats and hogs this weekend on the diamond, man.
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, man.
Porter Hayes, Hog Talk Podcast. Check him out Sundays and Thursdays. Adam Hall is his co-host. They're doing their thing, part of the Believe Network as well. So thanks to Porter. We'll jump in here, Aaron, and get to some of the news. Like, you know, we talked about the additions of Mark Pope. Appreciate everybody in the comments. Wasn't able to really get to them and work a minute with a guest. We see y'all comment and interacting, and we definitely appreciate it. But it's hard to just work all that in when you have a guest up here. But when it's just us and Jalen, we'll work them in more so. But
yeah, we'll get them in a little at the end here.
Yeah. But man, we, you know, Figure is dropping booms all the time, man. So
it's fun, man. Yeah, they're up to there was all the panic. What, this time last week? Where would they have been at numbers wise? They would have been at
Amari, was that it?
That might have been it. Amari, Chandler, and Perry. I think that was the team the last time we did this. So now we're up to nine guys.
Feels like 6 months ago when it was just crazy. Amari. It's only been a week.
Yeah. It's only been 5 days since they fly to Las Vegas and they get Lamont Butler, a guy who is a defensive player of the year in his conference. We all remember the clutch shot against FAU in the Final Four. And he's, you know, a guy who can make a shot when you need it. Point guard. So that happens. The next day you lock up Otega Owa, a top 27 transfer, top 30 transfer, whatever he is now, from Oklahoma, who had a really good year last year and started to grow on the offensive end. We've already seen how good he could be on the defensive end. So you get up to four that way, and then you just keep building. And I think, you know, we could touch on a little bit of all of these guys, but, you know, today getting Kobe Brea, first of all, I mean, you're talking about a coin flip shooter, a guy who is 50%, basically 49.2, I think it is. And and in the NCAA tournament, they played two games and he shot 56% and averaged in double figures. So this is a guy who is just a knockdown shooter who's going to play in an offense that is going to take a ton of threes. So that is an awesome get. And, you know, when we were talking around this time last Wednesday, and I wasn't the only one who reported it, but it's Kentucky was in fourth or fifth in the running, right? He was going to UConn. He had took that visit. He was supposed to visit Duke. And it seemed like there was more Kansas and Carolina buzz than there was Kentucky. But, you know, UConn drops out of the race when they get Aiden Mahaney, another guy visited Kentucky, but he chooses UConn, and Kentucky ends up with Brea. And after, you know, he cancels the Duke visit and the other two kind of – Kansas has – like, they're doing an amazing job in the portal. They're kind of set at that spot. And then – I don't know why it didn't work out with Carolina, but Kentucky will take it. So you get Kobe Brea on board. And then Kirk Carissa, a guy who last year shot 42% from three. Now he was in, like, I didn't see what it was, but it was 99th percentile in either catch and shoot or something. I was watching some of his tape today, and he's got a very quick release. He's a little turnover prone at that point guard position, but he makes up for it with some of his shot-making ability. And
he's on social media, too. Did you see the comment?
Oh, yeah.
They were like, quit turning the ball over. And he's like, I'm trying. Like,
yeah, he's a fun guy.
People call him out.
There's a video of him back in Estonia playing against Luka Doncic, and he's in his grill. Like, the type of guy you want on your – type of guy that you hate if you're playing against and you love if he's on your squad. So you add that to this group, and I really love Andrew Carr. I mean, I know it probably meant, you know, you – go away from Great Osabor, and there's some fans who are, you know, not thrilled about that. But this is a guy who shot 37% at 6'11". He's a good rebounder. He's a good rim protector. He went nuclear in the NIT, 31 points in their game against Georgia. So, and averaged almost 14 a game. So he's a high level player. He's a fifth year guy as well. Add more experience there, and then you know, Brandon Garrison, why I like him a lot is he has 3 years to work with, right? So he did some good things at Oklahoma State. He was a McDonald's All-American, you know, in 2023. So obviously he's a really good prospect. His best two games happened to be against BYU and Baylor, which is funny given, you know, Mark Pope and Alvin Brooks. But
yep.
Yeah, so there's a lot of upside with his game. And, you know, he's a good prospect. And, you know, he's a guy's not going to necessarily have to start, you know, with Amari Williams already on board. And I know there were some rumblings about him today, but it seems like they're all square away from what I understand. We'll see what happens. But, like, this roster's in pretty good shape. I would say at this point, the only two things they're needing is kind of just one guy that can get a bucket from anywhere, anytime. I think, you know, Bray and Carissa, you kind of count on to score from the three. You know, Carr is kind of a guy who can do a little bit of everything, but he's not going to be a guy with a ball in his hands all the time. You need a guard that's going to go and get his, like, if they are able to get Jackson Robinson, if he doesn't go pro and doesn't decide to go elsewhere, if they're able to get, I know there's a kid from North Florida who's had a heavy Tennessee lean. There was some smoke on him today. I don't honestly have any real information on him, Chaz Lehner, but a guy like him, Wolga Poplar from Florida, from Miami. Yeah. And then you probably need one more forward, but I don't know if they're necessarily going to fill all 13 spots. If you get 11 with those two additions, just an all around scorer and then another forward, I mean, this is a team that can contend in year one. There's no doubt about it.
So 11 and some walk-ons and see what you got.
Yeah, I think Walker Horn and Grant Derbyshire will be two of the walk-ons. I don't know what they're going to do the rest of the way there. But, yeah, I mean, they have nine guys when this time last week they had three. So they've tripled it, I guess.
Yeah, and look, I was in the, you know, wait for Billy Donovan camp. Obviously, didn't play out that way. But everybody's happy about the Boones. Everybody's happy about, you know, Figure on Twitter, Brooks on Twitter, all these guys. If me worrying about it helped, then I would worry. But, you know, we see a lot of worry and panic and angst about the roster. I like how they've just kind of quietly done it. A lot of times they were talking to people nobody had any idea. They were kind of zigging when everybody thought they would zag, and people thought they had a read on what they were doing, and boom, here comes Garrison. Nobody had a clue. So no.
Carissa, no one had it. I mean, Garrison, at least we knew there was contact. With Carissa, we had no idea he was even on the radar.
So the fan base, everybody's going to track the planes and try to figure it out. This is what BBN does. That's why Cal kept saying we're crazy, because we are. But everybody that wanted to kind of panic, like last week, like you said, there were three guys, now there are nine. I said it, when it's time comes to have a team, they're already going to have a squad before it's time to have a squad. So everybody that was worried about it, maybe they didn't think he could get the caliber of players, but he's playing his cards right, and this squad is coming together. And
absolutely,
is there different ways to do it? Like the old people from where I'm from, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Calipari, get all the top 20 guys, put it together. You heard him say it every year. We're going to figure out how to play. We're already trying to figure out how to play, and it's rough in November, December, because you're trying to figure out how to play. And a lot of times he would have them peaking at the right time, and then these past few years we know what happened. Pope, on the other hand, is getting guys to fit what he wants. And then maybe that's harder getting the guys, but it'll be easier coaching them because you got guys to do what you want. Cal, probably easier to recruit them because his reputation as a recruiter, but then it's harder to get it all to fit because you're just trying to piece it all together. So different approaches, not saying one is wrong and one is right, but we get a different approach and a fresh approach with the way Pope is going to be doing things.
No doubt about it. And you know, that was always a big thing. You know, the difference with Pope is he's going to recruit to his system. They're going to be guys who are schematically going to fit. They're going to be guys who fit what they want from an attitude and from a motivation standpoint. I mean, you see in a lot of these press releases or Instagram posts, guys talking about playing for the front of the jersey and understanding the assignment. Like, he wants guys who are going to be on the same page with that. And that that's what he's building, man. We were talking about it just with the three guys they had at this time last week, that it was all high effort, high motor guys who weren't going to give plays off. And there's not one guy on this roster. When you go and watch their tape or you go and talk to people who are more familiar with their game, where you have to worry about that. Like, that is not going to be a concern at all. All these guys are guys who are going to be high effort, high energy, and give it all. Is that necessarily going to translate in the win column? You know, hopefully, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I think you have to feel pretty good about where they're at, all things considered. So I'm very impressed with the roster construction. I think it is interesting that they have been very, you know, they're definitely, you have to obviously be old nowadays. I am curious as to like what it means going forward for just like 2025. Like, what's the plan for 2025? Because the way they've done this, I think five of the seven portal guys, five of the seven are one and done, right? So to speak, you know, not one and done, fifth years. They'll be one and done at Kentucky. They will have Otega Owoh will have one more year, and Brandon Garrison will have 3 years, assuming they don't end up as pros, which could be possible, obviously. And then you'll, you know, you don't assume Travis Perry or Colin Chandler would be one and done. So I am interested to see what they do and you know, continue to build in the future. But you added some dynamic high school recruiters that you feel really good about. So I think they're doing a great job.
Hit the portal and then mix in some freshmen and kind of. There was some nervousness about Williams, but he's here to stay, right? Or is he
that I haven't heard anything otherwise, so I'm just gonna operate that he is here to stay until told otherwise. I mean,
far as we know.
There hasn't been anything new unless I check Twitter when I can when we're doing the show. But I haven't seen anything that suggests otherwise now.
Yeah, but yeah, like you said, you're curious about next year, but it'll, as challenging as it could potentially be, it still should be easier than this year when you come in with nothing but Travis Perry.
Doubt about it. And you're going to have tangible results one way or another, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it will be easier. I'm just curious to see how he continues to build this program and piece together rosters. Like, is it going to be a thing where he takes three fifth years, or it'll go back to being fourth year soon when these COVID years, I think this is, you'll start to see it really phase out starting in 25. You'll have a couple more maybe here and there, but like, how does he operate that way? And then also balance the freshmen, balance all that. So that's more what I mean here. I think he's done exactly everything you could pretty much ask for with this roster, except you just need that four level score. That's the last thing you need. You need that the guy who can score from everywhere. Jackson Robinson would definitely fit that bill. I still think there's a good chance it happens. I don't think it's a lock by any means, but I think it's a good chance. I think there are other names. They're going to, you know, end up pulling their name out of the draft, and then they'll have a recruitment, and then we'll see where it goes. But, I mean, these nine guys you have to start this team, you can see the vision with it, and you can see being a competitor. You definitely can.
You could be in worse shape, I do believe.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. you could be a mess right now. And, you know, there's not really a team I could compare to be like, oh, you don't want to be like those. Because, you know, Cal, I think he's had a strong couple of days here with Janelle Davis and Jonas Adu. I think Michigan and Dusty May, he's knocked it out of the park. I think Pat Kelsey's doing a pretty good job at Louisville. So I don't really have a good comparison to be like, oh, they could be like those guys, but they definitely could be in worse shape than they are right now.
Yeah. Let's see. Marquise Davis. Yeah,
that was a big one. Four-star kind of came out of nowhere. I think Justin Rowland, to his credit, in their system over at Rivals, put in a projection for Kentucky. So he was on it, but I know, two guys, Alan Trio and Tom Loy, who are really good over on our side on 247, had the crystal balls for Michigan. So pretty big pull there by Vince Marrow. He's kind of won two head-to-heads against Michigan here this last week.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Just you know, good stuff there. Good stuff all around, man. Just
yeah, there's a lot of good going around. I mean, you want to see baseball get back on track, obviously. But yeah, I mean, football and basketball wise, the recruiting is going really well. Football's in line to have a really, really, really good 25 class. I know, you know, that's not the immediate focus, but you know, with summer camps starting to come up here and all that, Kentucky's, I think they already have three of their six guys or four star guys in their 25 class. I think they're going to add another one from where Carter's from, if it's Paducah, or he's a Kentucky kid who's a four-star that I believe they'll close on pretty soon here. So they're, you know, they're doing really well in the 25 class. They add DJ Waller for this year's team at the cornerback position. I don't really have a great read if they're done in the portal or not. I think they have a defensive lineman from the FCS level on campus this week. But I know they've lost some recruiting battles here in the portal, so they might kind of, for the most part, go with what they've got. But they needed a second corner because, you know, you feel really good about Max Harrison. Jansen done some good things, no pun intended, this spring. But, you know, he seems to track more as an inside guy, kind of like Phillips in 2022. So I would say that Waller is probably going to start outside at, you know, with his size at 6'3", done in the slot. And then you put, you know, obviously Max Harrison on the other island.
And Waller's ready to just come in and play, right? As long as, I mean, just learn the playbook. And
that's right. And he was competing for first team reps up in Michigan during spring ball. And he was a guy who played enough to burn a red shirt last year. So it's not like he's a guy who's like Jansen Dunn coming from Ohio State had barely played defensive snaps, right? He was a special teamer and he was just looking for that opportunity to play ball, where this is a guy that has some experience under his belt, not a ton, but some, and got some legitimate reps during fall camp. So, or spring camp rather. So this is a good app.
Yeah. Like just go back to baseball. I hope they can just find a way to win too. It's tough.
It's gonna be tough for this one. Yeah, especially Friday night. Porter wasn't kidding about Hagan Smith. I mean, he's kind of having a Paul Skeens like year over there, and coming from, instead of coming from the right side, it's coming from the left side. So he's filthy. That's gonna be a tough one. But at the end of the day, really you don't want to get swept. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. They can win this series, and if they win the series, I think that'd be absolutely huge. But you got to try to steal a game here. I think Tennessee was the disappointing one that you couldn't. When you win game one, you got to kind of win that series. They couldn't do it. South Carolina, they didn't really play well all weekend. I know they won Saturday, but man, the bullpen struggled mightily.
Yeah,
and then they get run ruled on Sunday. So they need to, I think, at least find a way to win one. And then, you know, that was the one thing with Kentucky that you had your concerns about, right, is their schedule really toughened up at the end. After the, I think the Auburn series was the last one, that bottom tier of the SEC. Tennessee, obviously now they're ranked number two.
Yeah.
South Carolina's top 25 team. Arkansas's ranked two. Tennessee's number three. Florida, I know they're kind of up and down, but we all know Jack Castiglione and some of the talent they've got. And then, you know, you finish the year going to Vanderbilt or hosting Vanderbilt. So it's a gauntlet and they got to find a way through it.
Yeah, that's it. Hopefully they can definitely do that. Got to flip over and give some congratulations, man. The Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame announced their class. Teddy Bridgewater from Louisville. So Roy Pickerel, SID for Kentucky Wesleyan, friend of the podcast, Tony Delk, and
yes, sir.
Your journalism grandfather, Oscar Combs.
Yeah, founder of our outlet, of course. Yeah, so really, really cool. I saw that picture of him in TD today. Obviously, he covered TD, so that was really, really, really cool to see. And happy for Oscar, happy for Tony, Teddy, all those guys. That's a great class, great group of people. You know, especially knowing Oscar and TD the most out of that class. But really, really cool to see Tony and Oscar together there today. And they both are more than deserving, probably overdue. So good stuff there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, man, how is Oscar not in?
Yeah, right.
From like decades ago. Because, you know, to start sports coverage as we kind of know it. I mean, the first independent outlet to just cover a team. And he founded the Cat's Paws, covering Kentucky only subscriptions. Getting your Cat's Paws in the mail, and just talking about the Cats, the whole thing devoted to Kentucky. A few years ago, he did those podcasts, the Oscar Combs podcast with Bo Robinson, and it was, I mean, you had Joby Hall, you had Kenny Walker, you had Roger Harden, you had Goose Givens, anybody who's anything to do with Kentucky, Oscar had him on as a guest. That's went cool. back and listened to all of those episodes of the podcast. I wish he was still doing, but the fact that before he started, which I didn't know it until I listened, before he started Cat's Paws, he actually like owned the Tri-City News, the newspaper in my hometown before I was born. And I knew he was from Hazard, which is right over the mountain. But then he's in Cumberland running the Tri-City News, then goes on to the Cat's Paws. I said, I did not know that about him until I listened to the podcast. But man, I think I tweeted him back and forth and we talked about that. And he talked about some of the restaurants, like the Big Top restaurant he would go and eat at when he was living in Cumberland and stuff. And it's a great dude. And just to be smart enough to do that, just an innovator, man, just
absolutely
unbelievable. So I guess he's, you know, I was joking, but you know, he is your journalism grandfather because you know, Darryl's the boss, but I mean, he's the GOAT. He started the whole thing, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about it. So really cool day. Really cool day for those guys.
Had to give them props. Hey, no doubt, man. I guess turnabout's fair play. We talked about your Knicks stealing one from Philly. Tyrese Maxey stole one back the other night.
Sure did. That was and the Knicks did a little bit to themselves. You know, Mitchell Robinson fouled you know, on that 4-point play. I know the NBA put out today was travel, whatever, but Maxey was awesome. Like, what are you going to do? And you know, not fouling up three is what I was trying to say. Like, the Knicks kind of did it to themselves a little bit. Maxey made them pay for some self-inflicted stuff. So, you know, now you go back to Philly tomorrow night and you got to close it because momentum's definitely flipped the other way when you have an emotional game like that. But, you know, you're still up 3-2 in the count. You got two cracks at the bat here. So
that's true.
We'll see what happens there. It's the Knicks, so anything could happen.
And we had, you know, the NFL draft last week. Your Giants got Andrew Phillips. And
yes, sir. Had, yeah.
You know, Ray Davis going to the Bills.
I love that fit.
Yeah. Trevor Wallace to Carolina.
Devin Leary to Baltimore. Look, he's a good kid. Like, I know he had an up and down year, and I saw that, like, UK to turn the comments off or something because he was getting hate. Like, you know what? There were games and flashes all year long that he could have been the guy that was at North Carolina State. He just didn't put it together consistently. It didn't work out. Maybe it was even on the coaching staff taking a guy who had only played in a spread offense and try to throw him into a pro style. So, you know, it's not all, there's always two sides of the coin with that. So good for Devin that he did enough this year to get his name called, you know, two straight years. I don't know. Has that ever happened in Kentucky where they've had their starting quarterback go get drafted back-to-back? Like, not back-to-back years, but they're back-to-back guys who started for Kentucky at quarterback. Because I know before Will, I think the last quarterback to get drafted was Andre Woodson by the Giants and then probably Couch by the Browns. So I don't know. There aren't many Kentucky quarterbacks that have even made it to the NFL period. You know, you got to go to Couch and, you know, Woodson getting drafted and now Levis. But to get another quarterback in the NFL, especially, you know, Mark Stoops, we know the offense has never – he's had his trials and tribulations trying to get the offense to where it needs to be. So to have your quarterback drafted 2 years in a row, I think, is a pretty good thing. So, you know, good for Devin.
We are transitioning on from Cal. Of course, I wanted to have Porter on because, you know, it's Kentucky, Arkansas baseball. Plus, just to get a little bit of the vibe of what it's like down there since Cal's leaving here and going there. But he always wanted to say, you know, nobody's bigger than the program. But then you had a Caleb Williams. Not Caleb Williams. That's the quarterback. The Caleb kid.
Caleb Wilson.
Yes, thank you. Caleb Wilson talking about Cal, telling him it's Cal University, and we just move a headquarters, man. That's
why he moved on, man. That's why he moved on. And look, it was not that stuff. No one was buying that anymore. No one was buying. No one was having. Everyone knew that's how Cal felt. That just justified it. So
yeah, and yes, exactly. And every coach has an ego. Every you know, they're all confident they can do the job and think they're, you know. Every coach, you know, Rick Barnes got an ego, you know, Musselman got an ego. They all do. Pearl got an ego. But to tell a kid that, you know, when you say, you know, nobody's bigger than the program, and none of us really doubt that he said it. It wasn't like, nah, this kid's making this up. We're like, yeah, he probably told him that. No, he said it.
That was like the most predictable Cal quote of them all. So you just, again... Yeah,
and you're talking to a kid who is too young to know any better. You know, like you know, I was talking to you know TB, my other co-host on Cast Talk Wednesday. But that's when you know his parents got to come in and be like, "Hey, look, man, somebody got to tell him," because
that ain't normal.
He's only 17. Cal's been in Kentucky his whole life, so he doesn't really know. But to say that, that's you can't. Can't be that fully self.
You needed to change for a reason. Yeah. I think everyone was sick of the name on the back stuff and the name of the head coach being, you know, it had to happen. So yeah. Win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. Let Arkansas have it.
That's it. I didn't see any football questions up there.
Yeah, I didn't see a couple
comments, but like I said, with a guest that's on, it's tough to get the comments.
Get us next week. Like we'll be here.
But we'll be back next Wednesday. Hopefully, Jalen will be back. But we definitely enjoyed this episode like we always do. Appreciate y'all taking the time to tune in. Appreciate Porter Hayes hopping on here. Y'all can get this episode. If you didn't get it live tonight on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, the audio will be up on Apple Podcasts as well. We also got merch, too. Y'all can check out our merch. We got Cat Daddy shirts. Go to believe.com/shop. Get you a Cat Daddy shirt available in blue, white, or gray. And still keep checking out the Autograph app. You can get all your Kentucky content in one place and get points and get rewarded for it. Tell them you heard about them on Believe in Kentucky. Tweet them at Autograph. Say, hey, download the app. Heard about y'all. Because the guys on Believe in Kentucky were talking about it. A theory real quick. Hey, anything is possible. Can Kentucky football be a playoff team?
I mean, look, now the door's a little bit open.
Stuff breaks, right? Stuff breaks, right?
You got to take care of the games. Like the games that you'll know really quick with the way the schedule works. If Kentucky beats South Carolina, the dream's alive. If they lose that game to South Carolina, it's not happening, no matter what.
I'm about tired of South Carolina. We've been losing them in everything. Except outside of tennis, I mean, basketball.
Yeah, women, baseball men, swept them last year. Baseball, and then football, not this year.
They're whooping us in everything, and I'm about tired of the Gamecocks.
Yeah, so you gotta take care of that game week two. I think even if you lose to Georgia week three, which you know could very well probably will happen, you know, from there on, you know. You're not going to face anyone that's better than Georgia. So, I mean, you're going to play Ole Miss in Texas, which is really tough. It's a really hard schedule. So, can they? Yeah, it's possible. Is it likely? No. But, you know.
Somebody got to jump up and have a Missouri year. Kentucky should have probably done that last year. Missouri goes 10-2. Kentucky's up 14-0 on this Missouri team. They went 10-2.
Yeah, so, and this is a good – like, this is a good roster. Like, this is a improved roster from a year ago. I really, really like the Bushamden hire. I liked it really from day one. I've been super, super high on it. I actually think they're going to be better offensively. I have my worries in the secondary. I have some worries just personnel-wise at certain spots, but, you know, I'm really high on what this team could do, but it's hard to project them to be in that top 12 just with how the schedule breaks. And, you know, there are a lot of good teams in this SEC now, and they play a lot of them. So.
That's right. We'll see very soon. Appreciate your question, Athea. Appreciate everybody's comments. And keep coming back. Keep working them in. We'll be back next Wednesday at 9. Unless there's some emergency stuff popping off, we'll do what we do when that happens. But appreciate everybody that took the time. Appreciate Porter. Appreciate you, AG. And everybody, of course, go to the Cat's Paws 247. Aaron Gershon, A. Gershon 99. And check out all the content as far as the basketball roster, football. Aaron's on top of all of it. So, been another fun episode. Appreciate y'all taking the time to tune in. For Vinny, this is Aaron. We'll be back next time on another episode of Believe in Kentucky. We'll holler at y'all later on.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.